So last night I suddenly remembered we're doing the Beatitudes and I thought, oh, phew, it does connect. The little bit I got, but yes, it does. So when I spoke 2 or 3 weeks ago, we looked at the Beatitudes part of the Sermon on the Mount. So I was just going to do a little review of that because some of you maybe didn't hear that bit. But mainly I wanted to talk about the gift of prophecy, or the spirit of prophecy. So first of all, I just wanted to ask you a quick think. Do you have a gift that other people don't have? Not necessarily spiritual, could be anything. Just quickly, have a think. I'm going to ask you. Just anything you can do that others can't do very well, but you can do really well. Teaching. Amen. Any hidden talents that we don't know about?
Yes.
Oh, skincare product. Wow. Wonderful. That's what's in your study, isn't it? All those things that you've had. Anyone else? I can do bubble writing. When I was a teenager, we used to, any pop group or anything that I don't know why, we used to write in bubble writing the name, and then that go on your wall, and there might be a poster. I don't know why, I can do bubble writing. Pardon? Singing. Wow. Ah, wonderful. You've said it now, out loud. Wow, wonderful. Wonderful. Anyone else? You've all got to say something. John.
Play the congas.
Play the congas, yeah. Don't think, no, I can't do that. Fiona? Right. Great. Bear that in mind. Yeah. Mark? Mark? You can do it. You're not allowed to have the same. Got to be unique. Photography. Oh. Great. For a fee, like weddings or. A gift that no one else has?
Yeah.
Wow. Brownie points. Wow. Iola. Gift from God. Adrian, what's your special gift? Talent. Yeah. Anyone else like to? I don't want to pressure people. Hillary.
Oh.
You need to get together with someone then on that one. Good game. I know what you mean, yeah. So you can do it, one in the middle. So that's good. Can you do the Rubik's Cube? Ah, oh, there you go. Winston? I know you have many gifts. Ah, wonderful.
I think I have broken that. Very patient for children, energy, and very lost. Listening, understanding.
Wonderful gift.
Yes. Yes, and when I'm talking with people, I try to put his shoes
Right. Anyone else who haven't pounced on? Julie, you've got gifts. Yes. Cakes. Cake making.
Yeah.
Tamsin?
Apparently, I have a full shirt
to wear. Oh, good. Oh, good. Quite handy in a house full of men. Have to. Graham? What's your complimentary gift for that?
Keep quiet while I
was born. Oh. Good. Glad to hear that.
Everybody have one special gift. Everybody here.
And I've forgotten your name. Danae, it's first time here. Do you want to share a gift or you don't have to? Ah, right. You could team up with Brigina and have a ministry. Wow. This just shows the variety, doesn't it? God is creative. I mean, this is just one or two, three or whatever, but I know God's given many gifts to all of us. And obviously there are more. And the gift of prophecy is one, and we know there's many other spiritual gifts, and probably we can all have them all. But some of us, maybe we can only cope with certain gifts, and our personalities are perhaps suited to particular gifts. So God knows, you know, which goes to who initially. But I'm sure we can grow in a lot of these areas. So I'm sort of tying it in with a conference I went to last weekend, which was called the Prophetic Boot Camp. So there were some bits where we had to do some work, but there was a lot of talking as well. But I'm just focusing on one area, which I think does link with the Beatitudes as well. And it's a lot to do with our heart attitude. But I think this could relate to any gift that we have. I'm talking about the prophetic, but you could take it to any gift that you have. But I think particularly at the moment, and this is a lot of what Isabel, who was Alan, now Shkulison, was teaching. So forgive me for copying a few things, but I felt it was good to bring. God is speaking about purifying the prophetic ministry. Because as we all know, there's always a few dodgy prophetic words or, you know, things that maybe seem a bit off track. So it feels like God wants to come and purify this gift in particular, sort of bringing a new perspective to this gift and upgrading it to something better even. So it's not something to put aside, but actually God wants to improve it and enhance it, which I think we need. But a lot of what she said was to do with our hearts, but also holding these gifts lightly, because the point of them is it's the giver of the gift as well. The gift is good, but it all points to the giver of the gift. And that is an important aspect, isn't it? Hope everyone understands what the prophetic gift is. Does anyone not know? No. But I was just looking in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, where it talks about the gift of prophecy. It's for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And it's really hearing God, isn't it, for other people to bring strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So that's just a simple explanation what it is. So let's just briefly go back to the Beatitudes, just so I'm on track with that. And I think it does tie in. You'll see, hopefully, how it ties in. But when we're talking about the Beatitudes, which are a lot to do with our attitudes, which God highlights as positive, might be some things that we find difficult because they challenge our human nature. So we were talking about, obviously, poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, as Mark was saying last week. Blessed are the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. They're not all easy things, are they? but they're actually keys to good things, the kingdom of heaven. We will be comforted. We'll inherit the earth. We will be filled. We will receive mercy. We will, this is a really key one, the pure in heart, you will see God. Peacemakers, you will be called sons of God. And if you're persecuted, great is your reward in heaven. So they have some very powerful consequences, these attitudes. And I think if we look at Jesus, obviously that's our best model for all these attitudes. And we looked a bit more in depth about what they mean, which you helped me with. The poor in spirit, knowing our need of God and our dependence on God, being poor in pride, it's for God's glory. Mourning is that feeling of loss, bringing our pain to God, aware of our shortfalling, perhaps. Meekness, humility, humbleness, self-sacrifice, not defending yourself, strength under submission, hunger and thirst for righteousness, justice, a desire for God, putting on Jesus, thy kingdom come, truth of Jesus, showing mercy, turning the other cheek, undeserved kindness, calling, caring for the vulnerable, sorry. I can't read it. Pure in heart is a process, pure desires, devotion to God, awareness of sin, bringing it to God, taking thoughts captive, guarding our hearts. Peacemakers are quite brave, restoring relationships and alliances, being a mediator. Persecuted can be subtle in the West, persecution. You need courage. And in all of it, we give glory to God, even through the challenges. Okay. So I think on the weekend conference, there was a challenge to us, even about the prophetic, that our motives can be not always pure. I don't know. I'm sure none of us are like this, but, you know, we can be self-centered, we can think of my gift, my ministry, and obviously that's not such a good attitude. And so there's a challenge to our motives behind these gifts, very much a need for the fear of the Lord, getting back to basics, back to the cross. And so God is looking for the true word of God. I guess with the prophetic ministry, we can get a bit emotional, we can get influenced, perhaps by what's being said by others, but it's very much looking for the truth in God, in reverence, fear of the Lord. And then she talks about the spirit of prophecy is greater than the gift of prophecy. This is where I find it gets exciting, because the gift of prophecy is good, isn't it? But the spirit of prophecy, I don't know if anyone's heard of that term before. Yes. So, hold on, nice. Revelation 19, verse 10, it just refers to that. So, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So, spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. What does that mean? Is it basically Jesus speaking through us? This is challenging. This is amazing. The spirit, so there's a gift, But obviously, what's important is the spirit behind that gift. And for this particular gift, it's saying it's the testimony of Jesus. And it's actually Jesus speaking. So she was almost talking like Jesus. With the spirit of prophecy, Jesus inhabits the prophecy. It's not an anointing, but it's a person that speaks through us. It kind of brings a different perspective, doesn't it? But all of it relies on our relationship with that person and our hearts being in the right place. Some of these things. I think you can tell, can't you, when a prophetic word, it does go to people's hearts, doesn't it? There's times it really touches people's hearts and brings almost an encounter with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So it's not just the words, it's bringing that connection with God. And I think that's this upgrade that Fiona was talking about in that word. It's almost like God wants to take us up higher, using these gifts even in a higher way to bring us in greater encounters with the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So going beyond even what we've experienced now. And she was talking about a lot. The spirit of prophecy is completely to credit the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I think when we really are in the flow with God, people might not even see us, because the whole aim is that people will see him. And sometimes God might even hide us. So, you know, someone might forget who gave them that word. It doesn't really matter, does it, who gave the word? But the aim is that someone feels they've met with God or they've heard from God. And sometimes we have to take a back seat, don't we? and just be obedient to what God's saying. I want prophetic words to bring people closer to the Father, to the Father's heart. And sometimes say can bring people's heart alive, can't it? Prophetic words can be very powerful. To help people connect with God again if they're feeling distant. And she was talking about how we, in these gifts, we serve Jesus, who is the prophet. We get to do the work with him. So he's the one who's the best prophet, but he chooses to work with us. So it's very much a partnership with him. The way she works is very, very close to Jesus. She's just, you know, we're together. When she goes to minister, they're together. So it's very much a partnership with Jesus. And she talked of an experience where she went to a conference to speak. And it was on an island somewhere. I can't remember where, but when she arrived, she felt so unwelcome and so uncomfortable and just wanted to go home. And she had to sort her heart out, some of these issues, keep her heart clean, and decide she's going to be with Jesus. She's going to do whatever Jesus wants her to do. And she went ahead with all the talks, but tried to keep her heart pure and clean and partnership with Jesus. And then she found all these people were just coming and knocking on her door and just wanting to talk to her. And she said she actually said nothing, but they were pouring out their hearts to her. And they were almost, and confessing all sorts of things. And there was freedom that came. But I think she was making the point, sometimes we're in situations that's not very easy either, and we need to keep our hearts pure and very much be working with Jesus. And God will move in amazing ways. She talked about being activated by love as well, and this is the last bit really well. So love for God and love for people. She talked about Matthew 14, verse 14. Jesus was moved by compassion and healed them all, all the people that came to him. So God is very much moved by compassion. And when he sent Jesus, the ultimate gift, he was moved by compassion and basically saved us all. So compassion and love was very much his motivation. So she was talking about clothing yourself in love as you move in these gifts. So love is so important. She talked about wearing the love of God. It's not enough to carry it, but we need to be clothed in his love. And that will come across. Obviously, it's the love of God that we want to communicate with people. It's very powerful. Okay. So it's important that people are encountering him and his love. Not just the gift, not just the words, but it's what comes with it, because we're partnering with Jesus. And the last thing she talked about was, what does love look like? This is where I'll put this. So as we partner with Jesus with the gifts, and as we walk more in love, I think we may see people encounter him even more. So she suggested that we write little columns. So we put, what is Jesus like? That's obviously Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. And then what am I like? She's quite challenging. So I just put, help. But I think we have an amazing role model, don't we? And the point is, love is so important. And maybe we could check ourselves a little bit. Am I being patient? Am I being kind? Am I boasting? Am I envying? Just, you know, check ourselves a little bit, maybe. I know we don't delight in evil. I think we can tick that one. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So I think she's just making the point. Let's do everything in love, and that is part of the spirit how Jesus worked through compassion, through love. And as the other thing that linked with this morning, I think the power of sorting out our heart attitudes, as we were praying earlier, getting rid of any barriers in our hearts, any bad attitudes, and I certainly find that when I've done that, I feel the presence of God a lot more strongly. So obviously God was saying that this morning as well. Make sure when we're ministering or whenever we're speaking to someone about God or sharing a word, just make sure our heart attitude is right. And I think then God will come even closer to us and work with us and work through us even more. And people will encounter God even more because we're wearing his love. We're wearing him. And okay. I think I'll probably finish there. I don't know if you would mind playing that song again, The Spirit of Revelation, because I kind of felt that tied in as well.
Yeah, so, sure.
What was the biggest encouragement you got from the conference?
The biggest encouragement? I think it was that it is all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about his love. And we're just, I think one of the things was we're like a waiter, just delivering the meal, you know, delivering the prophetic words, whatever gift, whatever action God leads you to do. And he's the provider. So I think that was it. And sometimes we won't get the glory. Sometimes people might even forget that we were involved. But the main thing is people meet with him.
Yeah.
And that love is so important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What question?
No, I say something about this, because when it's important,
the God very clearly showed me this verse in Matthew 14:14, when Jesus come to the people and the disciples told, please say for God, people is go out because lots of people's coming, but they have only 5 breads and 2 fishes, and I very clearly feel when you come to the God for Jesus, you have nothing like the 2 fishes and 5 breads, but when you sitting with Jesus, Jesus give you more and more, and you give this for different people, like Jesus say, no, people stay here. You disciples give for people food. And says, how? And he doesn't know. And now I'm very clear to see it as, okay, when I come to Jesus, Jesus show me how I want, how I give for everybody loves, because this is not only about the fish and bread. This is about the love, about the gospels, about the curry, huggy, everything. Mm. And this is amazing. Mm. This is amazing because you have the topic about this, and I.
And the birth.
Yeah.
And the same birth. Wow.
Wow, this is amazing. Yeah. I hope so. You understand what I'm saying, because my English is very messy.
Encouraging. Any other comments? We'll end with a worship. So I think that kind of had the heart of.
I'd just like to say, Suzanne did make a note of all the gifts that you said you had, and we will be expecting to see them in operation.
If you need any bubble writing, let me know.
Janus was singing, wasn't it?
Maybe.